Another way that God speaks to us is through people who prepare talks for us. Now, John didn't have very long. He got a phone call at 7:45 this morning. But we trust that God has placed within his heart something that is exactly what we need to hear this morning. So, thank you, John. Lovely to have you here this morning.
Could you name this tune? Thank you, Mark, for that. I didn't ask you to play this tune, but if anyone can... Sorry? Stevie Wonder. Happy birthday! Hooray! Has anyone got a birthday today? Hey, excellent. We don't need that, do we? We are our own Stevie Wonder in the building. Has anyone got a birthday today? Are you excited when it's your birthday? Do you know, just for those of you who don't know, I was told to make sure I stand behind this desk, so I've got to make sure I try and do that, because I tend to wander around when I preach. For those of you who don't know, I am now a retired Elim minister. Officially, it was just after Christmas that I retired from the Elim church as a pastor. I only knew that this week. And I was thinking about the word retired. And, if I go to the garage and I retire my car, it's good for a lot of more miles. Because, you know, in the kingdom of God, we do not retire. We carry on. And it's interesting that, you know, 2 days after or 3 or 4 days after I get that letter to say they're announcing my retirement at next year's conference, I get invited to speak on my favorite Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is my favorite Sunday because it's not, I get excited at Christmas and I get excited at Easter, but Pentecost church is something really special because it's the birthday of the church. It's the church's birthday. So I want you to look at someone and say, happy birthday. All right? Because you are the church. It's not a building. It's the people of God filled with the power of God that go out into the world and spread the word of God. Amen? And that's our challenge. And at Pentecost, wow, what a day. So, I had a call at, I think it was 7:40. It was quite interesting because, I am always ready to speak. And to speak about the Holy Spirit is nothing better. And so I did what any preacher would do when he knew he had to speak in a couple of hours' time. I went out and cut the grass. You might say that's a rather stupid thing to do, John. Well, I knew it was going to rain today, and we've got a little bit of a meadow that we wanted to cut. So I went out and jumped on the lawnmower. I did put my overalls on and me working clothes. Jumped on the lawnmower and turned the key and... Nothing happened. I'd already put petrol in, so I knew that it was not a problem with petrol, but I think it could have had something to do with the fact that last time I used the ride-on lawnmower, I left the key on. And so the battery was flat. Now, there's still power in the battery, but not enough to start the lawnmower. All right? And that's a bit like us Christians. All right, we've said yes to Jesus. There's power inside. And yet when it comes to the challenges of the world, our battery can be a little bit flat. Now, I went straight to my van because I've had a problem with batteries recently. And I got out these. Anyone know what they are? Jump leads. They're a good friend of mine, jump leads. I have a van that I tend to leave the door open occasionally and the lights are on, and it's an ex-British gas van and they've got lights all over the place inside. And if you leave the door slightly open, it'll drain the battery. Very frustrating. I've disconnected lots of them and found the main culprits. So those things are my friend. Now, some of us need to get a hold of that and plug it back in to the Holy Spirit. Because for some of us, and I've been there, we do drain. The interesting thing is batteries seem to be a problem in our house at the moment because I've got a car that loses power. We charge up the battery on my Passat, and unfortunately, if you just leave it, it drains. And I'm not talking about a long period of time. It seems to be just a few days. And I disconnected the battery the other day, and as I disconnected it after it was fully charged, there were sparks as I connected it on. It shows that there is a drain of power. Now, many of us lose our power through the week, through the things that we watch on television, the things that we say that comes out of our mouth, the things that we think even. And there's a drain of the Holy Spirit from us. We leak. And we need to be constantly filled. We need to remember, I love, the best thing when someone asks me to speak is the fact that the Bible has every word that I need. Every word that I need. Tell you what, I didn't look at that clock. That's bad news. And let's go back to the very beginning, not the very, very beginning, because we'd go back a long time. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given to people for a certain challenge. Not everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit, but God poured his Spirit into those he chose at certain times. And then comes along this guy called John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And my initials are JB. And I used to be called by my, when we were born again in 1988, in the Anglican church, there was a lovely retired vicar that come into that church some years later. And he used to call me John the Baptist Berryman. And I was tickled pink with that. I thought that's fantastic. What an honor to be given someone with the passion of John the Baptist, because I saw him as someone not only that ate the things that I would eat, locusts and wild honey, but he was an amazing guy, and he said these words in Matthew 3:11, "As for me, I baptize with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals." Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. I know that's the answer in every Sunday school class, whatever question is asked, but he's talking about Jesus. I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He didn't say he's going to baptize you with water. He said he is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, to me, that's exciting. To some people in the church, it's frightening. He is going to baptize you. What does it mean to baptize? Baptize, if you think of you've probably had this illustration before, stay behind this desk. You've probably had this illustration before of take a sponge, all right? Take a sponge and put it into a bath of water and it's underwater. But if you squeeze that sponge and let your hand go, what happens? The sponge gets filled, really filled. And when you pick it up, it's draining out of it. That's a picture of what God does to us, in a sense, because he squeezes us a little bit. He makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable. And then he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And I tell you, folks, that is an amazing experience. And for those that have had it, it's great. You see, you cannot be a Christian without having the Holy Spirit. But you can be a holy Christian, you can be a Christian without being totally filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says to be filled constantly. Constantly. Keep asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit so you might overflow as God wants us to into the world. And in the Bible, again, in John 16 to 21, he says this. I, Jesus speaking, I will ask the Father, Father God. And he will give you another helper. And he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. After a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Do you sometimes, I look at some Christians sometimes, and they seem to just be connected. They seem to, and they come out with some things, like, how did they know that? It's because they're being in tune to the Father through the Spirit, listening to what God says. So choosing these bits of scripture, I didn't go to my computer and say, well, let's find a sermon that I preached 21 years ago at such and such, or 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, or whatever. I went to him, and when I was out there riding up and down on my lawnmower, which is quite a brain-dead job to do, that's why men love doing it, you know, just riding up and down on the lawnmower and praying in the Spirit, I was, and waiting for God to give me inspiration. And it's a fantastic thing to do. I'll tell you a little story, because I like to tell little stories about my farming days and things like that. And I'm a dairy engineer as well. Apart from being a pastor, I used to repair, and I still do, milking machines. And so I've told this story. I don't think I've ever told it here. One day I was called. I'd been working many hours at our own business, and Sally, I'd promised to take her out this evening because I'd been doing silly hours. And I said, we're going out to a restaurant. I don't know if it's in St. Ives or Hale, but I remember that we're going out, book the table for 7 o'clock, we'll be there. And Sal said, you can't be late. I won't be late. We lived in Nancledra at the time. If anyone knows where Nancledra is, it's a little village halfway between St. Ives and Penzance on the B311. There you go. And so I get home that day in Nancledra at just after 5 o'clock. And I think, I've done it, John. You've done it. You know, I planned in the morning to make sure I wouldn't be late. And I got a telephone call as I pulled up. It's the days when mobile phones had only just really been in sync. And as I pulled up to Nancledra, I got a telephone call. I looked. I recognized the number, and I was filled with dread. Because this farmer that was ringing lived nearly out on the Lizard. And he said, John, my milking parlor won't work. And I went, yep. He said, can you get here straight away? The cows are all in the parlor and I can't get it to start. Yep. Okay. So I put the phone down. I run and say to Sally, Sally, we're still going out for a meal. We're going to be on time. I've got a breakdown. Where is it? Well, it's just near the Lizard. I drive. I put worship music in my on the CD player, all right? And I'm singing and praising God and praying in the Spirit. The gift of tongues, which is poured out at Pentecost, and some Christians have it, some people don't want to see it, but I have that gift, and I was praying in the Spirit all the way there. And it took me just over half an hour. Lord, I didn't break the speed limits, I'm sure. And it took me just over a half an hour, 35 minutes to get there. And as I pulled up at the farm, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, it's the first thing you touch in that parlor is where the fault is. Okay. I run out of the van into the milking parlor. If any of you know what milking parlors are, it's a herringbone parlor. There's 10 cows down each side. I go into a pit in the middle. The cows have been in that pit, in the parlor for the last 40 minutes while I got there. Of course, cows are very clean and nice. And anyway, I go into the parlor. I walk down in the pit. I'm trying very hard to stay behind this piece. And I walk down in the pit with my hand. I said, now, what's the problem? And I took my hand. My hands were down by the side. And as I turned around, my finger touched against something behind me. And I felt the Lord say, the first thing you touch Well, I thought, well, that's ridiculous. There's only little. So I looked down, and there was two little switches, flick switches, rocker switches at the bottom of this parlor, underneath the first cow. And I looked down, and I looked underneath, and there was a tube had come off one of these switches, a little air tube that sends a signal. I put the tube on, I flicked the switch up, and the whole parlor came to life. The herdsman who was working there at that time, how that? Did you do that? And I said, I prayed and God told me what to do. And he says, yeah, right. At that, I was up the steps out of the parlor running towards my van when the farmer who had heard my van pull up came out to see me. And he says, can you fix it, John? I said, I fixed it. He said, what do you mean you fixed it? How could you possibly fix it in that time? I said, God told me what to do. And I went in and I flicked the thing that God told me to do and it's working. And he is talking, I'm winding down my window, going into reverse, and let me tell you, I got home, and we went out for a meal. But John, God didn't tell you that. That was just luck. Let's continue with John 14, 26 to 28. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Come on. Say amen to that one. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be fearful. You've heard I said to you, I will go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father and the Father is greater than I. Now, folks, Jesus was the man. Jesus is just amazing. He's the one I love. But Jesus is not here with us today. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is with us here today. It's the Holy Spirit in us that convicts us of doing something wrong. It's the Holy Spirit in us here today that puts his arm around us, that fills us with that precious feeling. It's the Holy Spirit that when you're challenged or encouraged to stand to give your life to Jesus or to respond to a message like this. It's the Holy Spirit that makes your heart flutter and you think, what is going on? I've seen people run from the building and I've seen people run into the building because of what the Holy Spirit is doing. And what does he say in Scripture? Because this always go back to Scripture because it's not me, it's what God says that's important. Testament is a real test. No one can argue with my stories. They can, but it doesn't matter because I know what was real. You can ask the farmer to today and he still hasn't given his life to Jesus. So I say to you, this is from Luke 11, 9 to 13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now, suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. Will he not give him a snake instead of a fish? Will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, will he not give him a scorpion? Will he? If then you, being evil, as we basically were, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You have to ask. You have to ask. God is longing for us to ask for more of him. I can remember when I first became a Christian back in 1988. And the vicar, he was an Anglican church, a spirit-filled vicar. Yes, they are. So they are.
Say no more.
And he was a lovely guy, absolutely passionate for Jesus, totally filled with the Holy Spirit. Used to go around wearing his black cassock and even a hat. I don't know what you call the hats, but anyway. And he was fantastic. And he used to pray for me and Sally individually. And he'd come up and he'd be jabbering away in some language that I didn't understand. And I thought, well, he's obviously been to Bible college and he's got all the degrees and he's got this. And he was jabbering away in Hebrew or Greek or something that I didn't understand, you see. And he said, would you like the gift of tongues and be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I went, yes, please. Because I was one of those people, you see, when they said at the end of the service, does anyone want prayer for anything? I was the first one at the front of the queue. Because God had taken our lives and reshaped it. God had taken what was wrecked and rebuilt it into something beautiful. God had given us and me personally eternal life. So if he was offering me something, he wasn't going to give me something bad. He wanted me to have the best. So I wasn't second in the queue. I was first in the queue. People must have thought, oh, he's a nutter. In fact, some of them did. He's absolutely gone crazy. But I was up there and I prayed. Anyway, I couldn't speak any other language. I was useless at school. English was bad enough, let alone any other language. And then someone's going to give me a language for free? Wow, yes, please. So he laid hands on me and prayed in this language I didn't understand. I just felt a little strange, but nothing really happened. But I knew that if I wanted the gifts of God, I had to start practicing. You see, God doesn't give us gifts unless we start to use them. That's when God gives us the gift. He doesn't suddenly give it to you and then you're going to go, oh, right, now I'm going to use it. It's as you step out in faith that God gives you what you're asking for. He wants you to believe it. And so I wanted to speak in tongues, but no one told me, no one gave me a book, this is how you do it. So I had to trust God. So I used to drive a tractor called a Massey Ferguson 35. And on it, on the rev counter, it said tractometer. Tractometer or something like that. And it was a word I couldn't pronounce very well. And so I was thinking of Jesus, thinking of God. And as I was driving along in my little 35, I kept repeating these words, but thinking of Jesus. And all of a sudden, out of my lips came words of another language I didn't understand, but God knew it, and he suddenly poured his spirit into me in a new, powerful way. And that was my experience of God's baptism of the Holy Spirit, but some people it's different. In the first book of Acts, Acts 1, 1 to 8, the first account I composed, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise that the Father had given, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they came together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Truro, in Cornwall, in the United Kingdom, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. That was the JB version at the end. Because that's what it means. You will be my witnesses. And I want to tell you, folks, we are either good witnesses or we are not so good witnesses in the kingdom of heaven. But I can tell you now that you are being watched. When you go to church anywhere, your neighbor is watching you. The person living opposite is watching you. The person down the road is watching you. And they are saying, because we are all witnesses to the kingdom of heaven. You say one thing wrong at work, and the people that know you go to church, I thought you went to church. Right, isn't it? You do one thing wrong, but you will be my witnesses. You know what that is? A funnel. It was used this morning to put petrol in my lawnmower. Whew. It's a small funnel. Do you ever see people at church doing this? Does it remind you of anything? I used to see people doing that in church and think they're nuts. They've absolutely lost it. I'd see people putting their hands in the air and think they want to go to the toilet. I thought they were crazy. But then the Holy Spirit came upon me. You see people at football matches. I think they're crazy. But if you're in church and you're doing that, you're nuts. No, it's because I love him. And I can't help it but to raise my arms in worship. I can't help it because I've fallen in love with the Creator. And you know what? He's fallen in love with you. He absolutely loves you to bits. And if there was no one else in the whole world, you need to know that he died for you. And he couldn't do it all by himself. He said that. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. So that you can have your own experience of his Holy Spirit living in you. As I close that, I haven't got a clue when I started and when I stopped, but that doesn't matter. I just would like to invite you today. I love Formula One. And they used to refuel Formula One cars with a funnel like this. And someone will come out with a 1 gallon jerry can and pour it in. Well, of course they didn't, did they? They'd still be there filling the can. They had a pipe that was sort of this wide. And when you connect with Jesus, and when you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, he wants to connect with a tube that wide. He wants to put mega jump leads onto you. He wants you to be so full of him that you don't worry what anyone else is thinking about you anymore. Because you're living for Jesus. You're totally filled. And whether you became a Christian 5 years ago or 50 years ago, I'm not looking at you, Hannah. Well, I was, but I wouldn't. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit this Pentecost Sunday. And I'm going to have a... So I can't ask people to come forward and step across the line, all right, which I do sometimes because we're not allowed to because of COVID and you're all sitting there with your masks on, hiding, and which is great. Well, it didn't, but you know what I mean. John, shut up. You're digging a pit. I'm going to ask you to do something. Whether or not you've been baptized in the Spirit 50 years ago, or 1 year ago, or yesterday. Whether you don't know what I'm talking about, if you would like to be really renewed and refilled, whether you're home watching this on telly, on you, I just want you to do one thing for God, to be refreshed in him today. I want to ask you to stand. That's all you got to do. And if you want God to give you a fresh infill of his Holy Spirit, I just want you to stand. If you could see the place here, there's many people standing, and I just want you to ask him yourself. Quietly, he can hear you, but I just want you to say these words. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that, you know, you say in your Bible, lay hands on people. Well, Holy Spirit, you can lay hands on them now. They are giving you permission. But you need to ask yourself. I cannot do it for you. Just keep saying, come, Holy Spirit, and he will come. And he will flood through you. And ask him for the gifts that we said just now. That if you ask for something, he's not going to give you something bad. People have said to me, I don't want to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit because he might give me tongues. I really don't want tongues. Just trust God. Just trust him that he loves you and he's going to give you good gifts. And right now, he's going to pour those gifts into your life. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of Pentecost. We thank you that it's your church. It's thank you that it's our church. We thank you that it's the people of God that make up the church. And Father, today we pray for our pastor that he will be healed in Jesus' name, that you take away any sickness, any disease. Bless him. Bless Matt and his family today. But Lord, just flood your church and bring healing and restoration in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you want prayer for any reason after, then we will socially distant pray for you. Someone will come. You stay. And we, if you want to receive certain gifts, there's enough people around here that can pray for you. All right. So do not go home. If you want specific prayer or you think God has spoken to you in a certain way, we will pray for you with masks on and all the things that we need to do. But don't be concerned. Don't go home without it. Mark. He's going to play us a happy birthday. No, he isn't. He's going to sing a song. And whatever it is, desire that Pentecost Sunday isn't just today, but every Sunday is a Pentecostal Sunday. Amen? Bless you.